Hello, everyone. This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to this special edition of the Strang Report podcast. It's the podcast to encourage you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. And one of the most spirit-filled, dynamic, visionary people I have met in my entire life is missionary Bruce Olson. Many people know him as Bruchko. He was a young 19-year-old man of Norwegian descent from Minneapolis who felt the call of God to go to Colombia, and he went with a one-way ticket, not knowing a word of Spanish. The story is told in Bruchko. Today, he has a financial need. We found out about it a week or so ago. We immediately sent him some money and felt that we should bring this to our listeners, the people who look at our website, the people who go to the ChristianLifeMissions.org website, so that they could support him. He has some big donors, but most of his donors are small donors. We like to say we can do more together than we can do alone. It is a real need. Bruce Olson is a dynamic man. He's still going at 80 years old. He has had a relationship, as I say in the podcast, with Christian Life Missions going back to the early 1960s. I didn't get to know him until the 1980s. He has a tremendous story. He's such a good person, pure-hearted, loves Jesus. He's a genius in how to take the gospel message. You'll hear him talk about it. So stay tuned to hear my conversation, my exclusive conversation with missionary Bruce Olson, also known as Bruchko.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Now, Bruce Olson, I'm so glad to be with you, and I wanted to record something for the Christian Life Missions website, and then we'll segue into doing a podcast for my Strang Report that I'll also use, but I wanted to start. So just give me and our donors a little update on Bruce Olson and your ministry down with the native people, the tribes down in Colombia.
Well, you know, I've been in among the tribes for the past 50 plus years. And over these years, I've learned 14 of the tribal languages. My idea was to help the tribal people maintain good health through preventative medical procedures and help them protect their traditional lands from the invasions of outside people. After 50 years, we've produced professional indigenous personnel who have had sophisticated education in both universities and are on the local scene working with tribal leaders to help them incorporate these ideas of the Western world into their system of values, not destroying their system of values. Meanwhile, the reason I'm there is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and redemption through his sacrifice.
Well, that's so exciting. And as you know, better than I do, Christian Life Missions has been a part of your ministry or a supporting part for many, many years, going all the way back to the early 1960s. And now you have a special need. There are many donors who have supported your ministry through the years and have always, those in the United States have worked through Christian Life Missions. And we send you 100% of what comes in. And from time to time, we raise new money apart from you. And this is one of those times, and you have a special need. So tell us what the special need is and how much we're trying to raise.
The special need is, after so many years in ministry and preparing tribal youth in medical procedures, in tropical agriculture, these professional people are in the jungles, and we're moving into new tribal areas, isolated populations of indigenous people who have had no contact with the Western world. So the great challenge is we have to underwrite the expenses of the medical doctors, underwrite the expenses of tools and solar energy sources to help the people where they are, for transportation, for medications, for tools. These are great needs. And also, you've had such a valuable input into our life, thanks to Christian Life Missions. You underwrote my early years, and contemporaries who have been donors, we get up into the 80 years of age, and it's time to pass to go home to our Lord. And so many of my supporters have left, but I'm here. I've replicated myself through these tribal youths who have finished their education and are on the location. We're in 15 new locations, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, sharing in social needs that the people have. But it's important that you understand that these tribes are isolated. And when colonization move into their territories, they bring with them diseases, sicknesses. And so it's so important that there's a preventative medical program to protect the health of the new tribes where we're moving into, who are being exposed and have been exposed to the Western world. And the frontier with Brazil, the Mandamacu, they were a population of over 4,000 indigenous peoples. More than 75% of that population was wiped out due to sicknesses brought in by adventurers looking for gold in their territories. They are monolingual people, speak just their Maku language. They don't speak Spanish. And there are multilingual doctors and agronomists who are helping them to stop the infections. And this new idea of growing crops, growing something that will be more nourishing than just the adventure of searching for roots and fruits from certain jungle sources.
Well, Bruce, you have been such a blessing for so long. And, you know, I'm kind of we have an expression, Johnny come lately. I didn't know you and wasn't involved in your ministry until the 1980s. And of course, you'd already been going for 20, 25 years at that point. The Christian Life Mission started by our friend and mentor, Robert Walker, in the 1950s, yeah. Heard about you, met you at the airport in Chicago, was impressed, had one of his people write the first story in Christian Life. And that's really how Christian Life Missions got started, was the readers of Christian Life magazine, which was in its day, absolutely the leading magazine. They would send donations to Christian Life Missions. We continue that tradition today, now through Charisma magazine. Robert Walker kind of handed off the baton to me starting in the 1980s and then continuing. And he was very active up until the early 2000s when his health no longer allowed him to. And so he, as far as the journalism world is concerned, he sort of discovered you, so to speak. And in the early 1960s, then you started getting more invitations to speak. Later on, he wrote his book, Bruchko, which I like to explain to people is how the native people, the Motolone, pronounced the English name Bruce. They thought to their ear, it sounded like Bruchko. And of course, many, many people have read Bruchko. We continue to publish that book today. We published a sequel a number of years ago. And your story is amazing. And I'm glad that this need that has come up is allowing us to talk about you and your work with the Motolone to bring people's attention to the book. And I found out not too long ago that due to the things that you described, that you needed some help. And I wanted to say, how can Christian Life Missions help? You finally told me, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you need about $20,000 in addition to your monthly support that continues to come in from various individuals and churches around the country who love and have supported you for years. We've already provided $5,000. So really our goal is to raise $15,000. I happen to know a couple of higher income people who have indicated an interest in contributing, but we need listeners to my podcast, people who watch our online service to also chip in, because we've said for many years, we can do more together than we can do separately. And of course, that gives you a broader donor base. So I'm hoping that by telling your story, that we will raise much more than the $15,000. And our pledge is that every dollar that comes in, whether it's $1,500 or $150,000, I doubt it'll be that much. But if it were, there's no shortage of ways that the money could be spent to help people. We will give everything to your ministry. And there's a sense of urgency. That's why I wanted to put it online. We'll put this video that we're recording on Zoom. We'll put it on our Christian Life Mission site. It'll be on probably long after we recorded it, but I want it there. We'll put it on my Strang Report podcast, which goes around the world. It's our way to try to help you. So I've kind of laid it out. I want people can go to christianlifemissions.org to give. We will have other ways. Sometimes people like to give, you know, by mail, as we say, kind of the old fashioned way. I frankly like to give that way, write a check, send it in. So I'll give the address. And then toward the end of our interview, I'll give it again. So it would be Bruce Olson and then Christian Life Missions, three words, then 600 Reinhardt Road, Lake Mary, Florida, and 32746. So Reinhardt is R-I-N-E-H-A-R-T. Lake Mary is two words. And the zip again is 32779. And the nice thing about a podcast is you can stop it, rewind it. But as I said, I will say it later. So I'm sure that people want to hear your story, Bruce, but I didn't want to go too long before I tell people there's a need. That's why we're doing this. We're not just fundraising for the sake of fundraising. We're not fundraising to pay people's salaries or overhead. Christian Life Missions expenses are taken care of otherwise. So every single penny that's donated to Bruce Olson, the Multilone Indians down in Colombia, and the many other tribes that you serve will go straight to the need. And you articulated the need, as I said a minute ago, as $20,000. But, you know, we can't cut it off at $20,000. Anything that comes in over that, of course, we'll send it to you. And I hope that people will feel free as you listen to this in the future to know that the ministry of Bruce Olson continues and could use your support. And we appreciate everything. We will acknowledge every single gift. And when the time is right, we will send you a receipt for your income tax purposes, as any charity in the United States does. But we do it and have done it for Bruce Olson for many years. I'm guessing this is one of the longest standing relationships anywhere in America. I mean, who else started in 1960 and is still working in ministry? Now, Bruce Olson, you were 19 years old, if I remember right, and now you're very close to 80 years old, and you look great, by the way. I mean, nobody would think you're 80 years old and you're doing what you've always been doing. So maybe you could elaborate a little bit more on how people can help you.
Well, of course, we depend on the prayers. There's a great uniting through prayer. We're moving with the gospel into new uncharted territories. And there's the resistance of the evil forces who do not want the liberation of the gospel to come among many of these tribal lands. There's the competition with guerrilla forces, competition with drug trafficking. The Indians among whom I am working are not involved in this type of activity. We are now ministering in 18 different languages. And these languages have nothing in common amongst themselves. It's very strange and challenging how so many languages are isolated in jungle territories, where the total population of these 18 language peoples are about 90,000. They are non-acculturated tribes. We're working within the culture of the people. They say, we knew God in the beginning of time, but we were separated from God when we went on our own hunting experiences. And when we would like to return to the horizon, to the boat of God, we don't find the horizon. God lives beyond the horizon. The spirits are beyond the horizon. And the more you walk, the further you walk, the further away the horizon is. So I say, God has become incarnate in Jesus to walk this trail to take you to his horizon. Wow. How do you get the words for incarnate? There's a legend among the Bari people that a warrior was transformed into an ant and taught the ants how to make community homes. in the miniature, identical to the large tribal house. Well, I got the word transformed. And I said, God became transformed into human flesh to walk with you on the trail of life's experience. When you hunt, you're on a trail. When you're in the jungles, you're on the trail. The first person to walk the trail is the chieftain. So if I'm following the chieftain, I walk in his footsteps. I said, God is incarnate in Jesus to walk your trail of life's experiences so you can place your feet in his footprints. And then they learn of the death of Jesus because of our separation from God. One Motilon took a banana stalk and cut that open lengthwise because he said a good spirit will come out of the banana stalk that will tell us of God. And as he cut open that banana stalk, the unfolded leaves fell out like pages from a book. And I showed the buddy people of my New Testament, and the pages were like unto those leaves. And I said, here it says God, Jesus is resurrected, that he can take us to the horizon. Well, this is a cultural application. I don't want to use the gospel to destroy any traditional values that they have. But once they understand the sacrifice of Christ and his resurrection, there comes the Holy Spirit that lives in their heart. And there comes the responsibility that we have to translate the New Testament into local languages. We're now in the third translation in local language of the New Testament. And God's Holy Spirit works in the hearts of those who read it. The Indians who have never written before thought that these 3x5 cards in which I was writing phrases from the language, that these papers spoke to my ear. Oktavidaina reached his hand into the thatched roof of the home, remembering what I had recorded on that card, and he put it next to my ear and said, what does it say? And he took a gasp. It says the same thing now that it did several months ago. They thought the bird prints on that page spoke to my ears. No, it spoke to my eyes. So now we take a primitive language that you've never heard spoken before, and over the years of living with the people, learning the language, reduce the language to an alphabet, to a writing, the grammar, and we're in the translation of the New Testament. I think it's wonderful that mission organizations will help protect tribal peoples. But my mission is that tribal peoples are prepared to protect themselves as they come into the 21st century.
And Bruce, you've done that so well by sending some of the students, I'm assuming some of the brighter students, into the city, helping them have a place to live. They go to school, they've come back as doctors and attorneys to their own people. And of course, I've heard your story many times over the years. I never tire. I enjoyed hearing it today because I've tried to repeat a couple of times about the banana leaves being pages of the Bible and the Bari, which is their word that we call Motilon, or the Spanish call Motilon, which means cropped hair, if I remember correctly. And these were people that had no, even though they're in Colombia, named for Christopher Columbus, they basically had no interaction with Westerners or white people, I guess some people would say, until really you came along. You have endured so many things. You were even captured by the guerrillas in the 1980s. We who love you and pray for you and have tried to support you over the years wondered if we'd ever see you alive. And of course, God brought you through that. Many of these stories are told in the book Bruchko. We're going to make that book available to people because we need to get more people to read that story. It goes into so much more depth than we can in a short interview. Today, I wanted people to be able to see by watching the video that you are alive and well, and even at age 80, and that there are still needs there. You described briefly a couple of the needs, and people need to give generously, as I intend to personally, to give to you and the Bari people, the Motilon, the funds that you need. The people like me who are listening to this, we can't go to Colombia. We can't, COVID, if nothing else. we can't speak the language. I mean, you've taken a lifetime. You are a genius in many ways, and one of them is a linguist. I mean, you have a gift for language, and you have been able to learn many of the languages. And you talk, I've heard you talk about it being tonal, and that, you know, we have words that mean one thing in one context and something else in another context. So English has a few things, but the tonal, it sounds almost the same. In fact, I want you to do two of them that to our American ears sound the same, but it means something entirely different. I just think you're very, very fascinating. I hope that this is the first of many interviews that I could do with you. We need to be more in touch. Technology allows us to be in touch in ways that we could not have imagined. Can you imagine in 1960, when man had not even gone to the moon, having this kind of technology? I mean, we had telephones and televisions, and that was about it. And now you can be in Bogota as long as you're close to Wi-Fi. And here I am in Orlando, Florida. I'm in my home near Wi-Fi. We can talk to each other in just split seconds. I mean, it's amazing what we can do. So I want to let you talk a little bit. And also, maybe you could bring us up to date also on what kind of technology is going into the jungles with the Bari and the other Indian tribes that you deal with.
We have a low-flying satellite system by which our doctors and tribal workers can communicate rather than walking 5 to 8 days over jungle trails and the dangers of fording rivers and high streams. They can make a contact by satellite. And so the doctors can confer amongst themselves sicknesses that are appearing in the territories or complicated situations. I'm not overly anxious that so much technology should come to the jungles. I think I've prepared and am preparing the tribal peoples to defend their traditions and to carve their future, not that it should be manipulated by me nor government forces or by any religious imposition, but they understand what their needs are to stop the sicknesses decimating the populations, to protect their territories through legislation which requires lawyers, and also that the parents will keep an even balance with their children and start incorporating new ideas within the traditional values. When I was in the Chirinda Kaida the last time, I was bathing in the headwaters, and Abel Doda came to me and thrust his finger into a wound on my leg. And he asked, "Do you know who shot you when we captured you?" And I said, "No, I don't." He said, "It was me. They had wanted to kill me in that first encounter." But now he turned it into a very human interest story. He said, "If I hadn't shot you, you would have run away." That happened 55 years ago. He said, "We've kept you. You've shared the gospel with us. We've taken responsibility to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to neighboring tribes with whom we warred before. We're going into new areas. And you've brought the knowledge of vaccination to stop sicknesses, antibiotics, which have been very helpful. But we still sing our songs of healing. And the songs of healing combined with the medications were successful to stop the decimation of our population." It's been a very beautiful experience, humiliating and sometimes humbling. I was captured by guerrillas. These are not Indian people. See, they're Spanish-speaking Colombians. It was several years ago. For the Motilones who live in the border area with civilization, we've organized a cooperative which negotiates in chocolate. Some of the colonists had come into this cooperative as well, who have dialogue with the tribal people. But Camilo's father had committed suicide when he was only 3 years old. And it was one of our cooperatives that decided to send foodstuffs to this Colombian colonist family. And we sent foodstuffs for 3 years to keep Camilo's family, a little child he was then, 3 years old, and his mother and brothers alive. captured by the guerrillas, I would become very sick. And it was determined by the doctor within this organization that I should be given a living transfusion. So a needle was stuck into the arm of Camilo, and his blood flowed through a filter into my arm. We had the same blood type, of course. The following day, he said, "Bruce Olson, when my father committed suicide, it was the Barí Cooperative that fed my family and I could grow. You saved our family's life. Now I saved your life. I gave you my blood."
Wow.
That's strong. This group of the guerrilla organization has come into dialogue with the local government, respects the tribal lands, and the gospel of Jesus Christ is born in the hearts of not only the Barí people, but some of the revolutionary movements who have become calm and nonviolent. The gospel changes the lives and hearts of people and is reshaping the future of the Motilón folks as they defend their future and come into dialogue with both government, local colonization, and neighboring tribal peoples with whom they had fought bitter wars years ago. So I mature, become older. I'm not as versatile. I'm not as active physically. But we have more than 60 specialized personnel who are taking the vision that God had given me over 50 some years ago when I came to this jungle area. And we come together in prayer. The Spirit of Christ is present, and he gives wisdom to the tribal leaders, gives agility and knowledge to the younger folks who are cooperating with these tribal leaders. And in this process, it's the coming close together, the Spirit of Christ, the redemption of the work revealed in the gospel that has been so meaningful and life-giving now in 2021.
Wow. You know, that's probably a good place to leave it. We could probably talk by hour, about 4 hours. And I really would like to get on some kind of regular schedule to get an update. But let me just recap as we wrap up this a little bit long podcast. But like I said, it could be a whole lot longer. There's a need now to come alongside Bruce Olson as he ministers to the Barí people and the other tribes in Colombia. He described earlier what it is. He's said it is about $20,000. That is not a huge sum. We've already raised $5,000. We need people, and we'll be sending this out via email, probably in print mail, and lots of other ways. We'll put it on the ChristianLifeMissions.org website where people can give. You can give by credit card, you can give by check. You could even give by cash. That's a little more complicated, probably a little more dangerous to get lost in the mail. But every single dollar, every single penny that comes in will go to Bruce Olson and his ministry down there in Colombia. We've known this ministry for many, many years. I've published 2 books by him. It's one of the most innovative ministries that has made a huge impact, and it's opened doors for Bruce Olson to speak to the United Nations and others to describe how he brings the love of Christ to a people that have absolutely no connection with the gospel at all. And as he described earlier, and as he describes much more in his books, he's been able to take their own traditions, their own understanding of life, and to explain the gospel message. And really, that's what we need to do. In fact, as I even listened to him share, I was thinking of some people I know that I need the Holy Spirit to help me understand how to communicate Christ's love to a way that people, that Americans who are unchurched, know nothing about the Bible, how they can accept Jesus' love too. So as we close, Bruce Olson, I'll give you the last word.
Aqui bem bem, aqui não, mas já estou aqui. together on the path of life's experience, knowing our Redeemer.
Amen.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
Thank you for coming alongside Christian Life Missions as we come alongside Bruce Olson. You can give at christianlifemissions.org. You can mail a check made out Christian Life Missions and mark Bruce Olson on it. Our address, as I said earlier, is 600 Reinhart Road, Lake Mary, Florida, 32779. So thank you for digging deep into your, not only your pocketbook, but into your heart. Remember to pray for Bruce Olson and his ministry, as we should pray for all those in ministry. And, you know, he needs new partners. This isn't necessarily just one-time gift, even though an emergency has come up, which is exactly why we're doing this, but also we're hoping to find new friends who have a heart for what Bruce Olson is doing in South America. And he's been an example to so many people, primarily through the book. I know missions organizations, large ones, who require his book to be required reading for new people coming to missions, because it's part of their learning experience to understand his story and how God was able to use him. And really, in our own lives, we need to believe that God is going to use us in ways that advance his kingdom, even in these very difficult times that we live in. So thank you for listening today. Thank you for tuning into this video. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.